Welcome to the Good Work Show, where we highlight the good that makes Atlanta work. To learn more about the show and how your company can tell their story, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Good Work Show. Now, please welcome the hosts of the Good Work Show, Elaine Armstrong and Trenise Lyons.
Audience, and welcome to this week's Good Work Show. It's kind of like the middle of the happy holidays.
We're going to go Christmas with happy and holidays until 2020, because I kind of feel like you can do that for the entire month of December, because it's a catch-all. I'm going to ask this question. You're not going to know the answer. Nobody is, and then Sam will look it up, and then we'll have an answer. Like, I don't remember when Hanukkah started this year.
Oh, I don't know.
Usually I'm a little bit
All the December, like, holidays? Christmas holidays? Like, Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa. No, but in the December one.
I don't know. I mean,
those are the three that you always see in the store.
Oh, what's the one that they did on, Winter Solstice. It is December 21st.
But isn't that just the weather?
It's the official first day of winter.
Winter, yeah.
But what is the...
They don't make a greeting card for that, do they?
No. What's the holiday they did on Seinfeld? The, like, fake holiday? Oh, my goodness. With the post.
Maypole?
No, kind of. But it's like the day that... Isn't it the day that you, like, complain? It's the airing of grievances.
Oh,
Festivus for the rest of us. That's what it is. So Festivus is in December.
Okay.
Well, and people, celebrate it.
I thought that was a real thing.
No.
Oh.
It was created on Seinfeld. But
okay. Well, never mind.
But it has taken on a life of its own.
I mean, because I didn't watch that much Seinfeld, but I had heard of Festivus before. I thought it was a real thing.
I think it is now.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Festivus.
There's got to be some others that we're missing.
I'm sure there is. But I don't know. I usually kind of... So when I was in high school, we had a Christmas tree lot. Actually, I was talking to my dad about this the other day. Things that would never be allowed to happen anymore.
Wait a minute. High schools, they don't sell the Christmas trees anymore?
They might, but here's what. So when I was in high school...
They sell mattresses.
Ew. That's weird.
No, I'm telling you, there's a high school that it was in... It was not too far from our Shalford store. Like the one of those that they had a mattress, not like used mattresses, like real
mattresses.
But it was a fundraiser for apparently. I think that's better than that wrapping paper.
Yes.
Because that wrapping paper is a ripoff.
It is. But we would sell Christmas trees. So we would get a ripoff.
We've had a lot of those. Like,
good puns.
That wasn't even on purpose.
Yeah. But we would have a truck of Christmas trees delivered the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And it was for my student government. So I never did it because we were never in town for Thanksgiving for that first weekend. But we would have to be in charge of unloading the trees. So we would have trees as small as 3 feet up to 12 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, you have high school students.
12 feet, that's a big tree.
You have high school students.
Well, did the football players do any of this?
No.
Seems like that would be up their alley.
This is the student government. Student government.
The nerds.
Not athletes. Actually, we had a lot of football players in student government. No, and I'm just letting that go. I heard you. I just chose to not acknowledge it. So we would unload the trees. And then from Thanksgiving until Christmas Eve,
we got them.
I heard it. I ignored it. Because some things.
Jill and I are cracking up over
here. Do not need a response. But we would unload the trees. We would have them there until Christmas Eve. The lot was...
Christmas Eve? That's kind of a long time.
Exactly.
Weren't you out of school on Christmas Eve?
Yes, but here...
So you had to come in to unload Christmas trees?
Oh, it gets worse. This gets worse.
Oh. Mm-mm.
So we would be out... The lot was open 7 days a week. It was open from
7 days a week?
From like 9 o'clock in the morning till about 8 o'clock at night.
Where's the child labor laws?
This is why I said these are things that would not fly now.
That was old school.
So we'd go out there and we would work. So you would get 2 days... That you would get a field trip because the lot had to be staffed all day long.
What about a field trip? What do you mean?
Like
you get out of class to go sell Christmas trees?
You'd have to man the lot all day. So you would have a field trip day.
No way.
To go work the Christmas tree lot. Now, if you think about the timing of this, is pre-cash app, pre-whatever. So everything was cash. And we used to sell these trees probably $10 a foot. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the time,
wait a minute, you paid $30 for a 3-foot tree?
Yes.
Oh no, no, no.
Let me
no.
tell you, we netted, not grossed, netted $100,000.
This is why y'all were selling. This was in Florida, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's why people were paying $10 a foot for a tree, because
but like,
where else are you going to get a Christmas tree in Florida?
Well, that's true. At the
high school.
At the high school. But that was my dad's point. He's like, but my school kind of had, we were the first school to ever do it. And then it was kind of like this, no other schools tried, but it was kind of like this feel good thing. Like you would go. So we probably started off having the cheapest trees in town, but we ended up having the most expensive trees, but people would go to the school because it was a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm. You raise the prices.
Right. So then, I mean, I think about the fact, like, I'm 5 feet tall.
This is a story right here.
We used to carry, like, I would carry, like, 6-foot trees over my shoulder to, like, go. We were responsible.
So you were a lumberjack.
Yes. We were responsible for showing people the trees. I didn't do this because I was afraid of it, but we had the chainsaws. They had students with chainsaws cutting the ends off the trees. We were responsible for putting them on cars and tying them down.
No. So all the trees that fell off were projectiles due to high school.
Right. And then we got paid cash. So like we had.
Wait a minute. You got paid?
No, no, no.
No, we did not get paid. Okay.
But they paid for the trees in cash. So we would have a cash box with like thousands of dollars in it. All of this being handled by students.
Well.
I was like, when I started thinking about it, I was like, how in the world did we get away
with
this?
How did you get out of this? The thing about it is they let you out of class for this.
Because it was totally like, oh, of course you have to go walk the Christmas tree lot. But I was like, we got, like, literally, we had at least 6 figures off of that lot. And I was like, no wonder we were able to do stuff. We had money. It was kind of crazy.
That's the moral of that story.
When you're doing
money
it
after Christmas,
well, when you're
there was a lot of other twists and turns that should have been the moral of that story. But it was like we had money, so we got to go on field trips.
We did
and had nice books.
We had really good proms. I was telling my dad, I was like, I was in charge of homecoming.
That is not the moral of this story. There's so many other bad things that led up to that.
It's a lot of bad things. I was in charge of planning homecoming, and one day I had to go take the ticket money to the safe, and I realized halfway to the office of the safe, it's like I'm walking through a high school by myself with, I don't know, $5,000 in cash in a pouch.
Well.
And I'm like,
who else knew that though? I mean,
I don't think anybody knew.
Kind of like you were the
no.
Well, I mean,
it wasn't like
you were on the student government, so maybe the people were coming around and pull you in the bathroom, beat you up, and put you in the toilet and get the $5,000. Who else?
I wasn't on the chess club. I mean, I was in student government. I feel like that was two very different things.
Now today's day, if you were on the chess club today, you'd probably be like a rock star.
I will say this. So it sounds really nerdy, but like you had to actually apply and go through like a whole thing
to be on the chess club.
No, to be in our student government in my high school. It was like a thing.
Don't you have to apply anyway? Like, don't you have to run and have a campaign and all of that?
That was for the leadership before, like, our executive committee. It was actually pretty competitive, and people actually wanted to do it. We did have, like, the captains of the football team were on there, so we actually had, you know. I wasn't necessarily the cool kid. I mean, I wasn't uncool. Nobody was beating me up behind the...
Like I see.
I was not a nerd.
Anyway, yeah, all of
just
that,
saying.
Just to say that that Christmas tree farm is not a thing. And I feel like the mattress thing is way more
safer.
Legit.
Yeah, I mean, this. At the very least, it's safer. The two things for me were the chainsaw, because that's crazy, and being responsible for tying the trees to people's cars.
Yeah, I would
say. That was the two things that I'm just like, I can't believe that we had that responsibility.
Wait a minute, let's back up, because one thing, now I'm not, you know, I'm not going to say I'm the investigative reporter type. However,
except that you were.
I wasn't an investigative reporter, though. I was a general assignment reporter. But I got to go back to the first sentence that you said where you didn't have to do it because you were out of town.
So wait
a minute. Were you selling the trees or were you not selling the trees?
I wasn't there for unloading day. Because they unloaded the trees on the Friday after Thanksgiving.
So you weren't carrying the 6-foot tree on your shoulder.
To the people's cars, yeah.
the lot. I'm getting ready to break this whole story apart. I'm going to go
from the
line by line.
Over the shoulder to the chainsaw area where somebody would cut the chainsaws off. Yes, like at some...
Wait a minute, they cut the chainsaws off?
They cut the bottom of the tree off. for the water.
He made this whole story up, didn't you?
Did not. We can call my sister right now because she had to do the same thing.
You know how, I'm telling you, so it's funny because my sister is one of those people who, she might tell a story and then it kind of is a lot larger than really what it was. I feel like this might be one of those situations.
I'm telling you.
Who else went to your high school that's not related to you?
You know who we can call?
Who?
Because he visited me on the Christmas tree lot.
No, did he work? I have to have somebody who's viably worked this lot.
He didn't go to my school.
Okay, well, then that's not what I'm saying. We got to go in your yearbook and figure out somebody else. We're
going to call them up right now and be like, hey, there's like 10 people right now on Facebook. I can be like, hey, can somebody vouch for this, that we worked the Christmas tree lot the way I described it?
We should
do easily. It. Yes,
we're going to do
that's
that.
That's an easy during thing the break. To do. Yes, but after the break, because we just jibber jabbered for, I don't know why this story is unbelievable.
I didn't say, I'm just saying the way that you told it, there were a few discrepancies in the words.
Anyway.
And I had to go back.
After the break,
yes.
We're going to revisit two interviews from some guests that we heard from in the last few months that we wanted to bring back to you.
Yeah.
So first up is going to be Del McKinney from Goodwill of North Georgia.
Because,
you know, if we're going to bring somebody back, we're going to obviously
bring back one of our colleagues. That's right.
And then we're also going to hear from A New Daily Beginning. It's an organization that is focused on providing services for people who are going through cancer treatments or immediately following cancer treatments. You can't always, they're estheticians. Who focus on oncology, because you're not always going to be able to use the same practices and products and that kind of stuff if you're going through that. And they also do focus on the caregivers as well. So two great organizations that you'll hear from after the break. And check us out on social media, because we're going to put some screen grabs of some folks responding to me about this lot because I will not
we're
going to
uncover the story.
We're not.
How about let's find your principal and let's ask the principal. Was it a lady or a man?
It's a man. I can do that.
Well, we're going to get the principal to vouch for this.
I don't want to
story.
Call him out now because, I mean, obviously this was not good.
Is that approved?
No.
You're listening to The Good Work Show. Welcome back to The Good Work Show, everybody. We are excited. We've got our colleague, Del McKinney, here.
Yay.
Yeah, he was waiting outside for us. He's like, let me in. No, just kidding. I didn't. But Del is our vice president of donated goods retail at Goodwill. And Del, you've been at Goodwill for how long now?
For 8 months.
8 months. Wow. So so tell us all about you. Tell us about Del McKinney and your 8 month ride at Goodwill. What you been doing so far?
Sure. Well, I'm originally from Houston, Texas, born and raised. I went to college at Texas A&M University. Giggum Aggies.
I'm
wait,
sure.
What is it?
Giggum.
I'm sure that means something to somebody.
This is Georgia, you know, Bulldogs down here.
Okay,
but
like Sikkim dog. So that's
right?
Okay. I gotcha.
Giggum Aggs.
All right.
Both of those things. I'm just like whatever.
But yeah, I went to school at Texas A&M, and right after A&M, started working at Target as an entry level executive, and worked my way up through the organization to senior vice president. And you know, after 22 years with that organization, decided to make a move and do something different. I thought it was a great time in my career to make a change. And actually, when I transitioned out of Target, I wasn't necessarily looking right away for the next opportunity, but found this amazing opportunity here at Goodwill of North Georgia. And after doing my research on Goodwill, never thought I would end up in nonprofit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just looking at the mission and what Goodwill is all about, it was just the right fit for me. And so made the move from Texas to here in Atlanta, Georgia. And this 8 months has been an amazing ride so far.
Cool. Well, we're glad to have you.
We are.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what is the biggest? So you're working at Target and, you know, I sit here doing the show and like I get the little buzzes from Target like, this stuff is on sale. Come shop with us. Because they know. They're like, oh, it's about time. So everybody, you know, people love Target. So what has been the biggest transition for you from moving from an organization like that to, now be nice to us, but moving from moving from, like, what's the biggest been the biggest difference for you from it being a for-profit to a non-profit to, you know, regular retail to donated goods. So what has been, what's that transition been like for you?
Yeah, you know, it's actually been a smooth transition. And, you know, when I think about the differences between what I did in for-profit retail versus nonprofit retail, it's really been how we procure our goods. You know, one is new goods, one is donated goods. And then the other difference is one gives to shareholders and one gives back to the community. And we put people to work. And so looking at kind of where our profit goes and how we procure our goods has been the biggest difference. And my teams always ask me, or they always say, you know, it's a huge difference between what we do here at Goodwill and what regular retail does. And for me, it's all retail. It's just how we get our goods and where the money goes from where we get our goods. So it's actually been a pretty smooth transition.
Yeah. So what's been the most interesting thing to you so far that since you've been here? I'm sure you've seen some interesting things come in the donor door, as everybody does. And we'll ask you about the most interesting thing you've seen. But what's been the most interesting thing in your 8 months since you've been at Goodwill?
You know, the biggest thing that I've seen and the most interesting thing is just how the organization is shifting and how we are really striving to be a retailer and an employee of choice. And so it's really fun to be part of an organization who's making a transformation and to create a culture where people feel valued, they feel appreciated, but also working to be very competitive in the space. And so it's really fun to be part of that transition that we're going through at Goodwill of North Georgia.
Yeah. So now, most interesting thing you've either seen on the shelves in one of your stores or in the donor, coming through the donor door. And you've worked the donor door, too.
I have worked the donor door.
Yeah.
Here's one of the most interesting things. When I was making my rounds meeting the team, I talked to them about where I was from and went to Texas A&M and Aggies. Nobody knew what Texas A&M was and what an Aggie was. So the first store that I visit, guess what I found on the rack? A Texas Aggie t-shirt.
Did you buy it?
It was
planted right there. Somebody
you know what? I was going to buy it, but it was actually a onesie for a baby. So it was interesting to walk in my very first store. And the first thing I see is an Aggie shirt. So
what is an Aggie?
So an Aggie is just, that's our logo. That's our motto.
But what kind of animal is it?
It's not an animal. Actually, our logo, our motto, or our what do you call it?
The mascot
is Reveille, which is a dog.
Okay.
So is it like because it's agricultural? Is it Texas
agricultural
or mechanical?
Could be tied to that.
So Aggie, like agricultural. Aggie.
Okay, because I was like, what kind of
right?
What kind of animal?
You actually are close to Aggie colors, too.
Okay.
The maroon.
Yeah, representing.
She's feeling the Aggies.
Like, yeah, no.
Right? Still not working.
No.
Okay, cool. So I'm glad we got that education. I never would have known.
Right? Yeah.
Cool.
I don't understand schools that have mascots that aren't their thing, though. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Like, University of Georgia is like, they're the dog, so there's a dog.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Like the Gators are the Gators.
Yeah.
But see, actually, I say that, and my school is not. Never mind.
Yeah, you got you got a hurricane.
So you don't understand your own school mascot.
No.
Do you have a...
No, actually, I do.
There's a hurricane that runs around?
No, it's a... There's a story. Mascot. No, that would be kind of cool, though. No, but it's a ibis. It's a bird.
Mm.
Oh. Our mascot is... Of all the things in all the world, my mascot is a bird.
It's a bird.
Which I'm horrified by.
Back to Goodwill and DGR. So you've got lots of things that... you talked about, surprisingly, that the organization was in this sort of change mode, I guess. And we've got a lot of change. Of course, we mentioned that we had a new CEO, and Keith is a little... more senior than you are, in the sense that he started 18 months ago and you've been here 8 months. But even amongst your team, you've made a lot of changes so far and good changes. And so tell us about, because you're making a lot of cultural things and you know, working alongside you, I get an opportunity to hear about a lot of those things. So share with our audience some of the things that you're doing to just not only improve, you know, and help Goodwill move forward, but also the culture amongst your own team.
Yes, absolutely. So one of the big things that I'm really big on is team culture and having really a healthy team culture. Mm-hmm. And so that's always kind of a foundation for me. So anytime a business is not running well, it's not just about the business itself, because if you don't have a really good, solid team foundation, it's really hard to run a great business.
Yeah.
And so really it was bringing that balance to the team, a balance between team and business. And what I've talked to my team about is that balance is not equal, right? Mm-hmm. It's about knowing and understanding where you need to spend your time and when you need to spend your time there. So one day you may come in and you may need to spend 80% of your time on team and maybe 20% of your time on business. There may be other days where you come in and you have to spend, you know, 60% of your time on team and maybe 40% of your time on business.
Yeah.
And so really making sure the team understand there has to be balance in our approach. It can't just be all about business or all about team. It's a healthy balance of both to get great results. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing, is really helping us to understand our foundation, but then really giving the team an identity as well. And so really, in addition to focus on that balanced approach to the business, it's also helping them to understand what type of foundation do we create mm-hmm. so that we can deliver on our agency 5-year strategic plan. And to deliver on that 5-year strategic plan, if we don't have a strategic approach, it's going to be really hard to get there, because we have an aggressive 5-year plan to really grow our business. And so really talk to the team about the concept of one team, one strategy, one mission. And this is about creating unity, not only in DGR, but throughout the agency, to help everyone understand that we work together as one big team. And in order to get to the results that we want to with our 5-year strategic plan, we have to operate as one team and leverage each other and really have a foundation that's built in trust and respect for each other, and really leveraging the experts in our business. And then the other exciting thing is the launch of our e-commerce business.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so the launch of our e-commerce business is very exciting, because when most people think about not just discount retail, but nonprofit, they don't necessarily think about e-commerce. And so through our e-commerce business, we've been able to reach clients that we would have never been able to reach before to help continue to expand our footprint. So very excited about looking at other streams of revenue to really grow our business. So those are kind of some of the highlights when I think about some of the new businesses that we're entering, as well as kind of the foundation that we're setting for the organization as well.
Yeah. Mm. So there's a lot of new stuff that we have going on that so e-commerce, that's your most exciting thing?
That's probably the most exciting, but there's
I'm
other.
I'm not saying that it couldn't be.
E-commerce has taken off. No, I've only been for a little while.
Absolutely.
Right? It's like going like gangbusters.
I didn't mean to say it that way. But tell people
clarifying.
Tell people what that means, because so explain it a little bit, and what people can actually find and where they can find and that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. So most of this can be found if you go to directly to our website. Mm-hmm. I'm at goodwillng.org, and going to that website, you can click on Shop Goodwill, where you'll be able to find an assortment of items that we carry in our stores. The first phase of our launch was really with books. Mm-hmm. So we've moved books to online, and so not only do we sell books in our stores, but we also sell books online. We're now offering jewelry assortments. Where guests can go online and shop our jewelry assortment, and now we're about to add collectibles. And so these are great finds that are going to get exposure mm-hmm. that may have not ever otherwise gotten exposure to a broader range of audience. And so definitely looking forward to continuing to grow that business from books to jewelry and now to collectibles. We're also introducing an expanded assortment in our stores of new goods. Mm-hmm. So now when you come into Goodwill, while our primary assortment will still be donated goods and in the donated goods business, this is just another opportunity for us to expand our assortment and to attract other guests that may not have shopped Goodwill before with our new goods assortment as well. So we'll be looking at different things like Halloween and back to school with uniforms, and all of these are possibilities in the future for us. And then also working with my amazing marketing partners and revamping what our stores look like. So not only are we opening new stores, we're also refreshing and creating a new look and a consistent look and brand in our stores as well. So I think all of those things are very exciting for us.
Yeah. It's been exciting for us too, to work alongside you and your team as we move forward. And we're doing things that for the last 90 years we've never done at this particular Goodwill. And so we're moving constantly, but all in a really positive direction. So Dale, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about your role, and then maybe, share some stories about some of your team members who you've seen, ride along with you with the change. I know you got some superstars out there that, we could definitely talk about. And then we should talk about the new stores that are coming. So we've got some stuff that we want people to come to and enjoy and shop and donate. So we want to make sure that we give them all of that information. So hang with us, audience. We're going to be back. You're listening to The Good Work Show. Audience, welcome back to the Good Work Show. We are sitting here with our colleague, Dale McKinney, who is the Vice President of Donated Goods Retail at Goodwill of North Georgia. We get an opportunity to work with him every day and his team of, 2,500 or so? Huge team. He has the bulk of the Goodwill of North Georgia team members. But basically, you've got purview over all of the stores, donation centers, the transportation team that transports donated goods to the stores and from our donation centers.
Those trucks with Elaine's face on them.
trucks that sound, some of them have my face on them. And then also the e-commerce team. And so you've got a lot under your umbrella. We talked about how you're changing the culture within your team and some of the things that you've been excited about seeing since you've been at Goodwill. One of them, of course, being e-commerce, but then two, having the opportunity to change the culture. So what else is going on within your team? I know you've got some people who have some new roles mm-hmm. and positions, and one of the things that you know, having a new leader, you also get an opportunity to learn from your team, you know, being new to the organization, but then also seeing things that they may not have seen because we've got some people who have some long-term tenure and have been around, and maybe we've just been doing things that way for so mm-hmm. long. And so you've got some people who are now in new roles and are thriving. And I know you could probably talk about a couple of them, but you've got a training team that's just doing some amazing things. And so I think, you know, if you don't mind, you know, kind of sharing some of the things that they're doing, especially if people are interested in like, hey, I think this sounds like a great place to work. What kind of training opportunities do you have at your department?
Absolutely. So we basically restructured the entire Donated Goods Retail division. Within that structure, we really created a structure where we have a definite career path. Mm-hmm. So whereas people may not have seen an opportunity to grow in the past, they definitely see a clear path to grow within Donated Goods Retail. And so it's very exciting the way we've restructured. You know, our old structure was really around having kind of everybody doing everything. Mm-hmm. And so we had a lot of generalists, but no experts. So now the way we're structured, we have experts in operations, we have experts of people who can run stores, and we have experts in real estate. And so with that type of division, it creates a career path for individuals who want to be in operations, who want to be in real estate, or who just want to run stores. Mm-hmm. And so there's multiple career paths they can take now within DGR. A couple of leaders, and this is a beauty in Goodwill, we have a lot of long-term tenured people who know the business really well. Mm-hmm. So I've learned a lot from people like Brian East, who's my executive director of operations. So while he's gone through a change of learning how to be a true operator, I'm learning so much from him about the business itself and how do you run a donated goods retail business. And so combining his, you know, years of experience and knowledge with my background and experience in a for-profit organization, I think it makes for a perfect mix. Mm-hmm. And so not only also are we promoting from within, we're also bringing new talent in to continue to give us fresh ideas and new ideas of how we can continue to expand our business and grow our business from a revenue standpoint. And then within our training organization, our training organization is now really focused on standard operating procedures. And so now they can frequently update, dive deep, and really assess the business. And most recently, they took on a project with Emory.
Yes.
Where we worked with Emory and their Gozueta team, their
business school.
Yeah. And basically with a project called Impact 360 to really take a deep dive into our organization and our processes. And excited to share that they actually won the gold award.
Fantastic.
Was the number one team from that whole project out of 24 other companies. And so that's the type of innovation and partnerships that we're now taking with the reorganization to continue to make improvements in our processes and our business. And I think it also gives a new light to Goodwill and exposes us to different opportunities of how we can continue to grow and expand our business.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and congratulations to the Emory team. And thank you. We owe a big thank you to
Absolutely.
Them because they evaluated some things in your business. And thank you to you for opening your doors and
Absolutely.
Allowing, you know, kind of being vulnerable and letting somebody else see things that you may not have seen.
Absolutely.
And so that's great. And we're going to use some of their things that they suggested.
And I do want to give a shout out to the associate professor, Jeff Rummel, who led the project and put together a fantastic team of MBA students to really lead that project, as well as my director of operations and guest experience, Cartella, who did an amazing job of leading the team as well.
Nice.
That's awesome. So you mentioned that we're going to be using some of those things for growth and expansion, and we have some growth and expansion happening. So let's talk about that. We are, and those of us in the marketing team and your team are very intimately aware of all of the growth and expansion and changes and refreshes and renovations that are happening around Goodwill right now. So let's talk about this. We've got some new stores opening.
Yes.
Two. We've got one in South Harrison in Duluth, and then one in what county is that?
South Buford, or
is that
did you say South Harrison in Duluth?
I did.
Okay, that's not right.
No.
Because okay, I was like, yeah, let's clear that up. It's on South Harrison Road in DeKalb County.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not right. So as
Covington
the folks,
Highway in South Harrison. So if you know that area, it's a beautiful store.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so folks will learn on the show as they're with us. My geography is terrible.
And
so.
I'm right there with you. GPS takes me everywhere.
Yeah, my geography is awful. So we have our South Harrison store.
In DeKalb County.
In DeKalb County.
And then we have a, we're building a store in Duluth, it will be a while before that one. Like,
so
it's basically dirt right now.
Yeah. That's coming up in the fall season. So,
I drove by there the other day. It's dirt. And
the store is not going to be dirt, though.
No, the store will be beautiful.
It'll be beautiful. If it's going to take some time to build it.
Yes, I have anything to do with it, and I do. So it will be beautiful. And then we have our store in South Buford.
Yes.
And then what, where, I don't know what that is.
I think the best way to, it's near the Mall of Georgia.
Near the Mall of Georgia, but like what county is that?
I think that's, it might be on the further north end side of Gwinnett, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. So Mall of Georgia exit, I think, is the exit that you take to get to that store.
Mm-hmm.
So, so we'll have those two locations, that are brand new.
Yes.
We love a new store. That's very exciting, but then we're going to have some, and so those are kind of north, but we're doing some cool stuff in some of our in-town stores too. So, you know, we talked for a while about our store in Hartwell because it was the first one that got this new look that we talked about. But then we also recognized it was in Hartwell.
Hart County.
So not everybody got a chance to see
it. Yeah. And then we opened our new store in Old National.
On Old National Highway in South Fulton, which is in the southern part of Fulton County near the airport.
Yes.
Just to be clear,
geographically,
Old National is not a city. It's not a road.
So, geographically challenged.
Yeah.
So, people got to see that one a little bit.
Yes.
But they'll get to see a little bit more in some of our other locations. So, talk about that and kind of what we're doing and then what the plan is for that.
Absolutely. So, first I'll start. You mentioned the refresh.
Yes.
So, not only are we investing in, of course, new stores, but we're also investing in our existing stores. So, we're very excited. I went to the team, my marketing partners, I went to my facilities partners and I said, okay, guys, we're going to basically do many remodels in five stores in 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at me like I was crazy.
Yep.
Like,
and we still
do. How are we going to do that? But the team turned quickly, put together a very strategic plan where we're going to give our stores a new look.
Yeah.
We're going to update them with a very similar look to what our new stores have, from graphics to paint to floors to lighting, being more energy efficient in those environments. New shelving, new production areas for our teams, refreshing our break room.
Yes.
So it's all about creating an amazing experience for the guests, but also an amazing experience for our team. And we feel confident that this investment is going to really help us to continue to grow sales. You're going to see some great innovation in our new stores.
Mm-hmm.
So our new stores, we're very proud of what we're bringing to our new stores. We're putting additional resources in stores for our team, but we're also enhancing the guest experience. And part of that enhancement is, if you know anything about Goodwill, we used to use what we call grease pens to mark our items, where we're moving away from that and we're going to scannable barcodes for everything in our stores. Cuts the transaction times in half when we think about a guest experience to be able to get in and get out quickly. The brand of our store is significantly enhanced, rivaling that of other big box retailers where people are amazed and blown away by the overall organization of our stores, the brand of our stores, how full they are, how bright and well lit our stores are, how clean, neat, and clutter-free they are. So really creating an environment where people want to come shop. And our guests in the at the Old National store have responded really well. And that store is just blowing its budget away. And we continue to hear very positive, favorable things from our guests about the experience they're having in our new stores.
Nice, nice. Cool. So you relocated. You got this great new job, great new team, doing fantastic things at Goodwill.
Great new marketing team.
Great new marketing partners. Yes. But so tell us about moving back to Atlanta. You used to live in Atlanta some time ago.
Yes.
You know, just being a new resident back to Atlanta. What's the most favorite thing you've done in the last 8 months since you've been back in Atlanta?
The favorite thing I've done is work at Goodwill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, besides that, I mean, that's true. That's sad.
You actually live in a very cool place. I'm jealous.
I know.
Right?
But, I mean, if that's the best thing, if going to work has been the best thing you've done in 8 months, we need to talk.
Right? Absolutely. But no, it's great being back in the city. I lived here about maybe 15 years ago now. And so coming back to the city, though, the city has changed significantly in that time. And so I actually live in Midtown. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty cool living in Midtown. Wanted to get a really good feel for what it's like to live in the city and kind of in the heart of things. And so the coolest thing about living in Midtown is they just opened a new Whole Foods.
Yes.
Right where I live.
Whole Foods.
And it's crazy because people literally go to Whole Foods to party. Yeah. They call it Club Whole Foods. And so, but they have like rooftop dining and a burger bar and a, they do Mike Night. And so lots of cool things going on in the area. So,
Work in Whole Foods. That's the best.
Yeah. He lives at Whole Foods.
Right?
That's true. He lives at Whole Club Whole Foods. Yeah. It's like, I'm super
they just
jealous.
Made it so really convenient. Awesome. Yeah. Really convenient. But it's great, though, being back in the city and, you know, thinking about kind of how I continue to, you know, connect with the city and leveraging people like you guys who get out in the city and know the city very well. And so the other cool thing is the first time I lived here, people didn't really come and visit. Now everybody wants to visit Atlanta.
Yeah.
And so now that I'm in Atlanta, I get visitors all the time. So it's pretty cool. So I got to learn the city because I'm geographically challenged. I'm limited to where my GPS will take me.
Yeah.
It's exciting to go to the city, right?
Yeah.
Where is the question, right?
You have to use it anyway, even if you know where you're going.
Elaine
and I were talking about on our way over here. I was like, I know where I'm going get here,
right?
But traffic.
Oh, my goodness.
So I rely completely on my GPS to tell me how to get to where I'm going in the least amount of time.
Yeah, because I can't take the back roads. I got to stay where the GPS takes me.
Yeah. Well, Del, it's been a pleasure to work with you for the last 8 months. We are out of time for this segment, but we know we will have you back or some members of your team back to be on the show to talk about some things throughout the year. So thank you for stopping by the Good Work Show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
All right. You're listening to the Good Work Show. Welcome back to the Good Work Show. We are excited to have our guest here with us, Tracy Daly Smith, who is the founder and executive director of A New Daily Beginning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Elaine. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah.
Denise, so nice to see you.
Absolutely.
So, Tracy, tell us, what is A New Daily Beginning and what's your mission?
Okay. Well, 2 years ago, I created A New Daily Beginning, and it is a nonprofit that works with cancer survivors, caregivers, and patients, whether they're in treatment or out of treatment. And we provide therapeutic services and treatments, massage, skin care by oncology-trained estheticians and massage therapists, so that it kind of helps with their getting through the healing process and getting to the next steps in their life after they get through the recovery.
Cool.
Yep.
So talk to us a little bit about that. So, because it sounds specialized, oncology aesthetics.
Yep.
So what is it?
Okay.
And what made you learn more about it? Because that's not necessarily how you got started. You are an esthetician.
Right.
Did I say that word right?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Yeah, you did a great job. Did a great job.
Say that one time. That's the only time I'm going to try.
Oncology aesthetics is a specialized training that an esthetician can pursue after being licensed in the state that they are in. And it's usually about a 3 to 4 day training. Mm. And what it does is it teaches them about how to care for patients that possibly are in treatment and or survivors so that they don't cause any reactions with their skin and or doing improper massage, techniques, et cetera. with them going through treatment and after, they will have side effects. Mm-hmm. And especially during treatment, ironically enough, the cancer isn't what really is the bad part for these people. It's more of the treatments, the drugs that they're going through, the radiation, et cetera. So, and being oncology trained, it'll either allow that individual to pursue just that demographic, or it just gives them insight to know that if one of their patients or clients comes in and says, hey, I've just been diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer, they can still treat them without, you know, feeling like they don't want to cause harm.
And what made you decide to go ahead and get that secondary certification and become kind of focused in and to found the organization? What led you to do that?
So I had a client that, and I've been in the business for about 20 years, and I had a client that saw me just about every 2 weeks, and she stopped coming. And I reached out a couple of times, and then finally she contacted me after a month, and she had been diagnosed with esophageal cancer and was just, you know, heartbroken, just really going through all the emotions. And at that point, I just knew I wanted to help her as much as I could, just being a healer and a massage therapist and esthetician. But I was a little nervous, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't cause her more harm, but I knew that she needed that extra care, TLC. So I started doing more research about it, and that was kind of why I pursued it, because I just felt like my hands were a little tied, and I didn't just want to Google something and just go, oh, yeah, do this, and then find out later that wasn't really true. So,
yeah. So I'm just curious, what actually can happen? I mean, because this is, like, really foreign to me. So, you know, you take medications, and sometimes, for the most part, all I've ever seen is just stay out the sun.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, so what else, though, I guess in a massage, because I would have never thought going to an esthetician, having a massage or some kind of treatment that you might be able to offer would actually be in conflict with medicine, or, you know, and something, you know, somebody's going through some treatment. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah,
like, what happens with, you know, for instance, just a massage, for example, what kind of could happen if you weren't trained the way that you are trained and you kind of know what you know?
So a lot of the medications that they take can cause different skin issues. Mm. So I'll start with the standpoint. I know you asked for massage.
Yeah,
from
sure.
The standpoint of the skincare and severe dryness, open wounds, just things that, you know, sores that they're dealing with. And, you know, individuals that receive radiation, 85% of them will have some type of severe skin reaction.
Okay.
And not to say that the medical profession doesn't let them know about it, but they're not really there to treat the skin.
Right.
It's more about dealing with the cancer and making sure that they get past that. So having someone that's specialized in it can really make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the massage standpoint, a lot of individuals might have lymph nodes removed in the process. And any dealings with the side that they have the lymph nodes removed, you have to use a very light technique. You have to stay out of certain areas. Maybe if they had a port, you have to position them a particular way to make sure that, you know, you don't cause any aggravation of where they had surgeries. You need to make sure that you know how long has been their surgery and those types of things. So questions that a massage therapist, when, you know, they someone that's not oncology trained, would be looking at their medications, but someone that's been oncology trained will have a little more insight about, oh, yeah, that's a chemo drug. How long have you been on that? And start asking more detailed questions.
Okay. Yeah. So that's why when you go to have a massage, they ask you if you're on any medication. I mean, they're not usually trained to the level that you're probably trained, but just curious.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That is why, because there are medications that can, you know, cause you to have more of a tendency to have, you know, obviously our blood thinners.
Right.
And just cause more bruising. And, you know, even though your client may say, well, I want a deep tissue massage because they think that's what they need.
Right.
They could be contraindicated, and then they might go home and they get bruising.
Yeah. Right.
And so,
and are people told this? So, like, is that something that people are told when they go in for treatment, or if they're diagnosed, that they're told, you know, be careful about this or look for these certain kinds of trained professionals if you're going to go in for these kind of, like, is this something that people on the other side know?
I don't think it's where it needs to be mainstream with the medical profession. I think that the doors are definitely opening because now they're there are studies out there that show the positive reactions that massage can have with them. The same thing with people that are trained to do oncology aesthetics. But I think the more the education gets out there, the better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I talk to clients all the time. And, you know, when you're getting hit with all of that information, it's really hard to think about. And then when you are done with treatment, a lot of times you just want to avoid even saying that you had cancer.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
And that's the scary thing, because then they go to just a massage studio, and not to say that that massage therapist is not trained to be a massage therapist, but they don't have the specialties that they need to work with them.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So tell us what you offer, the range of services that you can provide to someone who is kind of coming to you for your services.
So depending on, you know, if they have any skin reactions, we can definitely work with them on that. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times the treatments are more focused, obviously, for sensitive skin, severely dehydrated, so facials mm-hmm. in general. Mm-hmm. And then there are certain steps that we might have to avoid from your typical facial. And then with massage, really all different techniques, but it really does depend on where they are in their recovery. Are they a survivor and such? We also, I have some of my therapists actually are also do energy work. So Reiki and Tai Chi mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm not sure if you ladies are aware of it, but those are techniques that can be done without even touching the mm-hmm. client. Mm-hmm. So right now that's kind of where it's at. I really would like to see it go into offering personal training mm-hmm. for these individuals as well, because I think that that's an area yeah. that after surgeries and just, I don't know, your life's kind of taken away, it's hard to know what's right and what's mm-hmm. the correct thing to do.
Absolutely.
So all of this sounds incredible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, knowing folks who have survived cancer and kind of coming out on the other side and not knowing anything about this, you know. So mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, what do you see are the positive effects that your work has on your clients?
Well, it definitely helps with the mind-body connection. I think that a lot of individuals, because of the surgeries and just poking and prodding and everything else, they don't really have the best body imaging. I think that that really helps them. I think that it definitely has an effect on their mental state. So pulling them out of depression, trying to keep them more positive, looking forward to mm-hmm. things to kind of get them back into life. But then, of course, you know, just healing the skin. Individuals that do have the severe skin reactions and getting them to a place where they feel okay looking in the mirror, because mm-hmm. they're already having a lot of things stripped away from them with right. this. So it really can make an impact overall.
Yeah. So how do people find out about you? If the medical profession has a little bit of work to do to kind of learn that, you know, not only do you exist, but people who are trained in your skill set even exist and to be able to refer. How do people find you? How do you connect with the, your clients?
I am, you know, the nonprofit's only been up and running 2 years, but mm-hmm. my ideal goal is that we would be working with all cancer centers mm-hmm. In Atlanta, you know, in some shape or fashion, whether that's in their infusion center, whether that's them providing and having a budget to provide these for their survivors and cancer patients and making it part of their protocol. And so I am just myself and my therapists are out at all events. I collaborate with other nonprofits because there are a lot of them out there that support the survivors and patients as well as caregivers. Mm-hmm. And I do want to hit on the caregiving part because that individual also is impacted severely. Mm-hmm. So that's why I felt it was so important that they also are able to receive these treatments. They give, and they definitely need to bring that back to them.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome.
Yeah, I was about to ask about that because you did mention that earlier that you do have opportunities for those caregivers to come. And I wonder, like, do folks come together? Is that a time for them to spend time together that's not about the illness? Yeah, that's not. So it's about something else. Is that?
It is. Ideally, that's what we like to do because it then takes away the burden on the caregiver. Mm-hmm. And it also takes the burden off the patient. because they feel a burdening.
Right.
And I think it's that opportune time where they're separate and they're getting treated and then they can come back together. And like, I love what you said, just taking the whole illness away from just that those moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Tracy, real quick, how do people find you, your website?
Website is www.anewdailybeginning.org. And all the information's there.
And it's Daily, D-A-L-Y.
Yes, it's okay. D-A-L-Y, and that is how my last name is spelled.
Okay.
So, yep.
Well, thank you for being on the show, and thank you for what you're doing. It's awesome work. So
thank you so much, and I appreciate what you guys are doing and just getting the nonprofit names out there. So,
absolutely. Thank you. You're listening to The Good Work Show.